Well, hello, Ace fans, and welcome back to Beyond the Flags podcast with your host, me, Ben Deathridge. We've got a guest who is coming off a big victory with the Central California Clash at Antioch Speedway last Saturday night. Kellen Chadwick out of Oakley, California. Kellen, twice a champion of the Wild West IMCA Shootout in the Pacific Northwest and a four-time qualifier of the Speedway Motors IMCA Super Nationals fueled by Casey's. His best finish in 2010, finished eighth in the big dance. He's here to talk about why he's been running a limited schedule, what his plans are for 2024. He talks about his hobbies, places he likes to vacation, things to do in the East Bay Delta region of California, as well as his racing history. That's coming up. Well, he's hot off of the win with the Central California Clash at Antioch Speedway. Hailing from Oakley, California, Kellen Chadwick. Kellen, great to have you here, and great to see you racing again, and also it's wonderful to see you back to your winning ways.
Yeah, no, definitely. We took a little bit of time off, and the kids playing sports and having a good time chasing them around, and just kind of doing family stuff. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I got back at it yesterday, and had a really good night. I mean, it didn't start so good. We got a little trouble in heat race, tore a little bit of stuff up, but we thrashed on a little bit, got it back together, and ended up salvaging a pretty decent night out of it.
And, you know, the Central California Clash, new kind of format. Historically, it's been a speed week where it's a series of consecutive races put together. This year, it's kind of broken up to where it's concentrated races on one day at one track. And Antioch drew a really good group of cars. And the main event was pretty good. And for you, you were good on open racetrack. You were great on restarts. And, you know, looked like the car was dialed in.
Yeah, no, we had a really, really good race car last night. Like I said, had a little bit of trouble there in heat racing and got it back together. And I made one little change before the feature is kind of a, something that I'll do periodically if I feel like that's the right direction to head. And last night we hit the setup I think about as good as you can hit it. So we were really, really good.
Well, and it's got to be special to win at Antioch too. That so many family connections there. So I mean, it's right next to Oakley, a home game for you, and a place that you've ran really well at over the years.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know if there's there's a lot of really good guys that we get to race with when they do specials like that. So so it being my home track and me having the amount of laps that I have around that place, I'm sure it can't hinder you. But racing against the caliber of cars that are there, everybody can get around everywhere pretty good, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of your racing career, we've known each other for a really long time. I want to think the first time you were up here in my neck of woods was 2004. Obviously, that was non-sanctioned action at Cottage Grove Speedway. But for you, when did racing start for you? And what was the class that you began in?
I actually got started in go-karts. I raced dirt bikes. Started racing dirt bikes when I was like 3 years old, somewhere right around three and a half or so. And then, I raced dirt bikes until I was seven. And then I got into go-karts and I went from go-karts to, the 600 CC micro sprints. And from there I jumped into, an IMCA modified. And then, obviously played around in the late model world for a while. And then, now we're back to just doing our modified stuff, but it's been, I don't know. I just turned 39. I got in a race car when I was, like I said, 7 years old. So I've been behind the wheel of something for majority of my life.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that you did micro sprints. So did you race it at Dixon or Stockton, Delta Bowl or Delta Speedway?
Delta Speedway.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Did you ever venture down to Plaza Park or Lemoore and farther down the Central Valley, or just kind of stay at Stockton?
No, it was mostly just Stockton. We only did the we only did the Micro Sprint for, I think, a couple seasons. I think it was like 2 years, and then I jumped into a full size car.
Okay. And then you touched on it, late model stuff. Did a lot of traveling with that deal as well, and took you to a lot of places across the country.
Yeah, no, for sure. The late model thing, we did a ton of traveling. We North Carolina and Missouri and Eldora. I mean, we a ton of different places with the late model. And honestly, a ton of different places with the modified stuff too. And we used to run a lot of open modified stuff. We did a whole bunch of traveling with that too. So I've been to a lot of different racetracks in the United States for sure.
Well, I know one particular time in the late model, you took a pretty nasty tumble. Just going to say it the way it was at Casa Grande Central Arizona Raceway. And it looked like that was going to kind of be it for your career. And that was most definitely a scary moment in your life, but it's been so great to see you bounce back and be successful despite such a horrific crash.
Yeah, it was a rough one for sure. And it took some time to get back going again, but we've been, I don't know. I mean, pretty successful even after the accident to kind of get things going and get back on track and try to get back to winning ways. And it hasn't been bad.
And there's been no lingering effects of that at all. Has there been, or you're completely 100% healed, clean bill of health?
Yeah. I mean, there's maybe a little bit of limited mobility or something on how far I could turn my head or something. But aside from that, I'm pretty much as good as I'm going to get.
Yeah. I remember you scared the living HE-double hockey sticks out of me at Wairika. I think you went off the top of three, and then they said all of a sudden, you know, we got a car that's upside down. And I just, you know, just thought of you like, oh my gosh, he suffered a pretty significant injury in Arizona a few years ago, and then here we are at Wairika for the start of Mod Speed Week up here in the Northwest. This is definitely not what you needed, but obviously you were able to bounce back from that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just missed some marks and decided I was going to Dukes of Hazzard off the entrance gate there down the back straightaway. So. But unfortunately ended our speed week for the most part that year, but we've had a couple good speed weeks too. So, they can't all be great.
Yeah. I was going to say champion of the, what's now called the IMCA Wild West Shootout 2016, 2019. And, I think it was 2016. You're just an animal and just incredible as far as just going to some places I don't think you'd really raced before and winning, or revisiting some places you hadn't been to in a long time and winning. And then 2019, just a battle that came down to it with I think it was Colin Weinbarger. I mean, it came down to the very last race for that deal.
Yeah. No, it did. He actually, in 2019, he won a bunch of races. He was really, really, really good all week. We ran really consistent and kind of stayed right there with them as far as points going. In the, you know, the last night we were able to get a win on the last night. And that was enough to secure, you know, our second speed week title. But yeah, no, that was definitely a battle all week.
Yeah. No, definitely fun to have you come up through those years. And you had made some journeys up to Grays Harbor before for the, you know, Northwest Modified Nationals, and then frequented Southern Oregon Speedway quite a bit too when they had their big modified race.
Yeah. No, we were fortunate enough when I was quite a bit younger, but yeah, we got a couple wins up in Elma for their Northwest Modified Nationals, so we've been. Yeah, had some really good runs up there. Haven't been there a ton, but had some good runs while we were there. And then, Southern Oregon. I've always been a fan of the place. It's always been every time I've been there, it's been really, really racy. You can move around, and we actually haven't been since uh, since the new track configuration and the new people took it over. And looks like everything they've done is lots of improvements. And we look forward to getting back up there. We just times haven't worked out these last couple times for us. And then it's a bit of a jaunt, you know what I mean, for us to get up there as well. It's about 6 hours. So we like to, if we're going to go that far, we like to make sure it's a race that you know, that could be worth our while if we could figure out how to get it done.
Well, that's a great segue kind of into my next question is, you know, obviously time is very valuable to you, got lots of stuff going on. Have you really got a plan for 2024 as far as races? Are you just going to kind of hit and miss at Antioch, or are you going to try and hit maybe some specials at some other places?
I think we're gonna do some moving around this year and try to hit some of the specials. Try to get back to racing some of the bigger money races that we can see if we can make something go of it. But it's we'll probably run Antioch. For the most part, periodically it's 10 minutes from the house, so it's not far. And when we have a busy week, it's not as bad to sneak over there real quick on a Saturday, being it's so close to home, you know?
Well, and the 83 number, where's the origin of that? Where did that come from? Because for the longest time that I've seen you race, you've always been number 83.
Yeah, that was honestly just me as a kid. We used to go watch the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars or the NARC 410 California series thing. The Beef Packer car was always one that I rooted for and wanted to see win. And that was number 83. And I kind of just, I put that number on my race car as a kid, and it just stuck. It's been with me ever since. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. The Dennis and Teresa Roth 83, very successful California sprint car team nationally as well as locally in California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I think when back, I don't know if he was the first one that was in it when I was quite a bit younger, but I think they had Danny Lasofsky running it for quite a while when I was quite younger. So just kind of a car that I always rooted for and kind of liked the way it looked, and I just kind of picked that number and it stuck.
Well, you know, there's a couple other drivers in sprint cars that run, kind of a tribute to that. And it's kind of super cool because that shows you just kind of how iconic that number font is and the style of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's that was the other thing. For me, I don't know what it is, but number font and the way it looks on the race car, kind of meant something to me as well. And I always really, really liked the way that thing looked. So that's what we went with.
Are you looking to find that adrenaline rush, but you can't because you're not at the racetrack? Well, check out the IMCA TV Replay subscription library to have access to thousands of hours of racing for just $24.99 a month. Relive all the moments of the Speedway Motors IMC Super Nationals fueled by Casey's at Boone Speedway, the Harris Clash at Deer Creek Speedway in Spring Valley, Minnesota, the IMCA TV Winter Nationals at Cocopah Speedway in Somerton, Arizona, Florida's Clash on the Coast, and dozens of Speedway Motors IMC weekly racing program racetracks from across the nation, as well as the IMCA TV Dirtcast podcast. Plus, 25% of that $24.99 monthly fee goes towards the Driver's Point Fund and is a great way to help out your local racers. In 2023, over $97,000 was paid out to IMC drivers directly at over 50 racetracks across the country. Please note that live broadcasts are not part of the replay subscription. That's IMCA TV. IMCA TV, where America comes to watch racing. So we've talked a lot about racing stuff, but I really like to know kind of the off-track stuff. Oakley, California, for people that don't know, what is that technically East Bay or the Delta region of California? Is it kind of hit or miss?
They kind of call it both. I mean, we're definitely in the California Delta region and East Bay for sure. So yeah, it's I don't know how many people are, how familiar they are with this area, but it's you kind of start kind of start coming down the California Delta and you start over, kind of Vallejo and Crockett and Martinez area. And then as you come further east, you get over to Oakley and just kind of just follow the Delta here.
Well, my question was going to be things to do. I've stayed there before. I've stayed in Oakley. I spent some time at your dad's place in Antioch, and I will say that is definitely an adventure of me walking the streets of the Yawk. So your dad said, "Hey, as long as it's not nighttime, you're okay." But I mean, there's some things, some memorable moments for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, it's a I wouldn't probably recommend walking around there at night, but it's and not the whole area is bad. It's,
sure.
You know what I mean? But where the fairgrounds are located, it's probably not one of the better parts of town for sure. But yeah, no, it can be an adventure over there. But as far as things to do around here, we have a little bit of, there's a little bit of everything really but it's probably mostly water sports, honestly, with mm-hmm. California Delta being right here and whatever. So boating is a big thing for a lot of people around here. You could kind of find whatever you want to do around here within a half hour drive or something, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. I saw, this has been a few years ago. Our friend Carl Berenson, he was like in Disco Bay, Discovery Bay, and he was on a, mm-hmm. he was on a boat, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not a boating guy, but it's like that he's selling me here. Somebody's going to be getting some coin if I decide to get a boat.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's the Discovery Bay area is pretty nice. It's like a community that's actually on the water on the Delta. They kind of broke the levee, so there's a whole community of houses that live on the water with a dock and everything in their backyard, and that's a huge boating thing over there for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say it's all man made, right?
It is, yeah. A lot of it's all man-made, and then they actually just built another one here that's about not even 10 minutes from the house. They broke a levee somewhere else and started putting another community up that all has docks in the backyard and everything. Everything for the same type of deal like Discovery Bay, just not quite as big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know that in my years traveling on the 4 west of Antioch and Oakley, Concord, I mean, that's kind of one of the cities as you're getting closer to Oakland and getting to San Francisco, but Concord really stood out to me because they have, or they did at the time, a drive-in movie theater. Like you could park your car and watch
there.
A movie theater. It's super cool, super old, and it's right next to the highway.
Yep, right next to the highway, and it's probably, I mean, I'm sure there's a couple here and there around, but as far as I know, anywhere remotely close to our area, that's the only one that I know of. And yeah, it still goes. If you drive by there, most nights during the week, you can drive by there and there'll be a movie playing. It's still the same old drive-in movie theater. Pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, super, super cool. Super cool indeed. And it's great to see that Antioch Speedway is flourishing. I know that, I got to spend a lot of time with you and your family there in 2020, because it was really one of the only places that was going between that and Marysville racing every single week. So I felt like I was an adopted Californian there. I think it was like 6 or 7 straight weeks I went down there to visit you guys.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's always good having you too. You know, I can't remember exactly when it was, but that might have been during COVID when we couldn't have fans and do any of those things. So
yeah.
But they were still getting to race and still making it work. And obviously it's rough. I mean, it's not having fans and whatever is never a help to trying to run a racetrack, obviously, but yeah, no, they made it work and having people like you here with the knowledge and the really good job of announcing that you've always done is always beneficial to a racetrack for sure. So we enjoy having you, definitely.
Oh, I appreciate that. I really appreciate it greatly. You guys mean a lot to me and my family and everything, through the years. Hobbies for you outside of racing, outside of work. What are some things that you like to do to keep yourself sane?
Honestly, mostly chasing the kids. I mean, both of my daughters are doing cheer, and that keeps us extremely busy. But as far as the keeping us sane part, that's where my wife and I try to make sure, no matter what, that we take like one vacation a year, and it's just the two of us, where we get a short little break, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No. So we try to do a vacation just the two of us, and then we'll try to do a vacation with the kids and everybody as well. But we try to definitely sneak one in sometime during the year. That's just her and I, just to kind of break things up a little bit, you know.
Do you guys normally go to kind of a similar place, like a similar part of the country or out of country, or do you guys try and change it up and just try and do something different each time?
Yeah, we try to switch it up a little bit. We've done, we like to cruise, honestly. We like to go on some cruise ships. So we did, we've done a couple out of like Miami area, some of the more Eastern Caribbean stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then we actually just did, here about 2 months ago, I guess it was, we just did one to Mexico, a 7-day cruise to Mexico, out of Long Beach here. So that was, a little bit closer to home, obviously, to jump on an airplane and you're in Long Beach in about 45 minutes and then jump on the cruise ship and get away for like a week. But yeah, we switch it up. And then the year before that, I think we actually went to Hawaii for a week and did the Hawaii thing. And we've actually done that a couple times too. So we try to switch it up here and there, but my wife very, very much enjoys the ocean and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, the ocean and the beach, you know what I mean? So we try to do as much of that as we can, at least once a year, like I said, to try to give us a little break and a little getaway and try to forget about reality for a minute and clear your mind, you know?
Well, I know the beaches aren't tropical, but there's ocean in Alaska. I've heard that those are just simply breathtaking.
You know, honestly, I've been trying to talk my wife into an Alaskan cruise, and she's she's the one that, absolutely does not like to be cold. So I'm that's a work in progress. That one's going to take me a little while, I think, to get her talked into letting me take her there. But we've been told the same thing. Actually, on our last cruise, we talked to a couple other people that were on the ship with us, and they said that, Alaska was absolutely gorgeous. They said, that's one of the cruise ships where you'll want to spend a little bit of extra money and get a balcony view room and take a nice set of binoculars. And they said, well, a lot of times when you're cruising through, you can see, a lot of wildlife, a lot of bear and a lot of moose and a lot of really, really neat, you know, neat things to check out as you're kind of cruising through.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine, I think, went on one and I don't know where they went into, but then they took like a train into like the interior too of the country or of the state, which, I mean,
yep, I've heard of that.
You kind of get a little bit of everything, the maritime part of it and the, you know, I mean, cause in the interior there's some wild critters that way too.
No, definitely. Yeah. No, I've heard of I've actually heard of the train thing that you're talking about. I've heard, that's a really, really cool thing to do. It's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. So I'll keep working on her. I'll see if we can make it to Alaska one of these years. Sure. On a cruise. I got actually her, my father-in-law. So her dad he's been talking about wanting to go to Alaska too. So maybe if I get a little backup on my side to try to help push it through, maybe I can make it up there one of these times.
Strength in numbers, right?
Exactly.
Well,
for sure.
Well, this has been a pleasant conversation, Kellen. It's always great to catch up with you and everything. I know you're a busy guy and you got to turn in here and clock out soon, but people that you want to thank, sponsors that you'd like to thank. I know that you got a good core of people behind you and a great core of sponsors that make sure when the 83 is running that you guys are looking good, it transports nice, and that you guys are have the best equipment possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. First and foremost, my wife and my kids, my wife, for one, puts up with this shit. You know what I mean? And then, on top of that, my kids are, my kid, my oldest boy, busts his butt helping work on the race car and trying to keep things going. You know what I mean? But, and then as far as sponsors go, we got there's a ton of people on there that make things go. And, A&B Landscape Design, Hoppus Motorsports, Vanderbilt Race Cars, FYE Motorsports Promotions, Fast Shafts, Performance Bodies, Speedway Motors Crate Engines, R&J Landscaping, Extreme Racing Products. Who else? There's a ton of them. I'm trying not to forget anybody. I don't like doing that.
You got the ice cream people, right?
I got Polar Bear Rolled Ice Cream. I do have him. Yep, he helps out here and there and tries to keep us going as well. You know what I mean? Every little bit that we can, every little bit helps, obviously. And you know, without having a good sponsor crew behind you, and you know, it's tough. It's tough to make things go nowadays. The price of everything is drastically got, you know, more and more expensive throughout the years, obviously. And it's, you know, without them, we probably couldn't do what we do. So for sure, they're a huge part of our program.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to come on board and hopefully we'll see you soon. And maybe we'll be checking in with you a little bit later if you, have some good runs. Hey, we might be just checking in with you and see where Project Alaska is going too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I appreciate it, Ben.
Well, race fans, that does it for this interview. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope that you continue to enjoy these upcoming interviews. We appreciate it if you would like and subscribe wherever you're listening, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, wherever it's at. Give us a like and give us a subscription so that we can deliver more of these great interviews to you for your listening pleasure. In the meantime, wherever we're at, wherever you're listening, we hope you have a great rest of your day and a pleasant evening, and we will see you soon here at Highside Racing Promotions. It's going to be another busy week on IMCA TV as their upcoming broadcast schedule is this, kicking off the week on Wednesday, April 24th, Stewart International Speedway in Iowa. Friday night, going to be jam-packed, Davenport Speedway in Iowa, Dakota Speedway in Mandan, North Dakota, Electric City Speedway in Great Falls, Montana, going to be on the card. Saturday's jam-packed lineup will feature Boone Speedway in Iowa on April 27th, Michigan's Crystal Motor Speedway, back to Iowa Maquoketa Speedway, as well as Independence Motor Speedway, Eagle Raceway in Nebraska, North Central Speedway in Brainerd, Minnesota, Elma Washington's Grays Harbor Raceway, Shelby County Speedway in Harlan, Iowa, Electric City Speedway in Great Falls, Montana, Cottage Grove Speedway in the state of Oregon. Shows on Sunday will include Benton County Speedway in Vinton, Iowa on April 28th, Dubuque Fairgrounds Speedway, and Interstate Speedway in Jefferson, South Dakota. Two races on Monday include Clay County Fair Speedway in Spencer, Iowa, and also Stewart International Speedway in the Hawkeye State. For more information on those broadcasts and an updated broadcast schedule, be sure to visit IMCA TV to purchase your viewing passes. That's IMCA TV, where America comes to watch racing.